Turn to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1 tonight. We're so thankful for young people that serve, and what a blessing that is, amen. Mark chapter number 1. To rescue a sinner like me, that's why he came. The manger and the cross are forever linked. He came in the manger, but he didn't stay there. He went to the cross of Calvary to die for us, to shed his blood, and we're so thankful for that tonight. Mark chapter number 1, I want to just try to be an encouragement to you tonight as we get close to a new year. And as Pastor P said this morning, when you get ready to end one year and begin another year, I believe all of us do at least a little bit of reflection on maybe the goals that we accomplished in the current year, and maybe some goals that we want to accomplish in the new year, some things that maybe we didn't accomplish that we want to do better at, maybe our Bible reading, maybe we look back at our Bible reading schedule, and maybe we did well for the first 3 or 4 months, and then kind of tapered off a little bit, and so maybe we want to do better this year in 2020. And so tonight, I want to encourage us as we think about the fact that God is the God of second chances. And that's the God that we serve tonight. And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, Failure Does Not Have to Be Final. Failure does not have to be final. Every single one of us probably this year, maybe even today, maybe even this week, have had things in our lives that happened and we thought, oh, what a failure. I know better. I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done that differently. But I want to encourage us tonight that failure does not have to be final. And so I want to show us that tonight. I want to begin here, Mark, and we're not going to stay here, but I want to begin in Mark chapter number 1, and we'll read just a couple of verses as we begin. The Bible says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send a messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Many times, and I know personally, many times I come to the book of Mark, and I forget about the past or the history of the penman of Mark, the man that penned the book of Mark. Many times we come and we preach messages out of Mark, and we just simply skip over, or we don't remember what this man went through. And God allowed him to be one of the penmen of one of the books, the 66 books in the Bible. And so we find a great example, and we're going to develop this, we're going to see this tonight, that failure does not have to be final. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, if you would. Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. Mark is mentioned specifically 10 times in the New Testament. He is referenced as Mark, John Mark, and Marcus. John was his Jewish name, while Mark was his Roman name. And we find him here in Acts chapter number 13. And I just want to drop down to verse number 13, if we could. And we'll begin there tonight. We'll back up and see some other verses here in Acts chapter 13 tonight. But I want us to see verse number 13. We read Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, just to remind us about the book of Mark and the fact that there was a man named Mark who penned the book of Mark. But Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 13, the Bible says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And that is John Mark. That is the man who penned the book of Mark. By the way, some would read that and say, well, what's the big deal? He just went back to Jerusalem. There's no big deal there. Well, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and look at chapter number 15, if you would. of Acts chapter number 15. And it is a big deal because John Mark did not leave for the right reasons. We do not know exactly why he went back per se, but we do know this, that he did not go back for the right reason. We don't know if he was tired of the ministry, if he was scared, or whatever the case would be. But Acts chapter number 15 and verse number 36, the Bible says, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." Now again, Paul knew. Paul was there. Paul was part of the first missionary journey, if you will. They had John Mark with them. And for whatever reason, John Mark went back home. He went back to Jerusalem. And Paul was not happy about that. Paul was not pleased with that because whatever reason John Mark went back, he did not go back for the right reason. He left the work and he left the ministry for that moment, if you will. And so right there at that moment, he failed. Again, we can sit here and we can lay blame and we can speculate, but for whatever reason he went back, he failed. But failure does not have to be final. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Failure does not have to be final. So I just want to show us a few things here in the book of Acts, if we could. I'd like for you to turn back to Acts chapter number 12, and we'll begin there tonight. But I want to pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know your hearts. I don't know what you've dealt with this year or even this week for that matter. But if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, there's nothing that God can do with me. I've been an extreme failure this year. I haven't done anything that I'm supposed to have done. Now, please don't misunderstand. We're not condoning any of that tonight. When we sin, as Pastor Pease mentioned this morning, we need to confess that and get it right. When we sin, we need to confess and agree with God that we have done wrong. We need to confess and get things right according to the word of God. But praise His name that there's mercy. Praise His name that there is grace. We have been studying on Wednesday nights this year, we've been studying the kings of Israel. And I'm amazed at the mercy of Almighty God with the kings of Israel. We even mentioned this morning in Sunday school, you think about the man Ahab, King Ahab. The Bible says that he did more to provoke the anger of the Lord than any other king before him. He was a wicked man. He had a wicked wife. He listened to her counsel. He should not have listened to her counsel. He was wicked. He so complained and he so desired Naboth's vineyard that his wife Jezebel had Naboth murdered. I love that story, by the way. In there, Ahab wants Naboth's vineyard, and Naboth said, "God forbid it me that I give you the inheritance of my father." Wow, there's a message right there. We ought not give the inheritances of our fathers. We ought not give any of that to Ahab and Jezebel. God help. But he wanted Naboth's vineyard, and he couldn't have it. Naboth wouldn't sell it. And Jezebel said, "Hey, aren't you the king? Just go take it." And she didn't say, that's not what the Bible says, but that's what she's telling him. "Hey, you're the king." And she set things in motion, and she had false witnesses come up against Naboth, and she had him murdered. And after that happens, Elijah comes and he confronts Ahab. And he really gives him a message of judgment. But you know, in that very same chapter, that Ahab repents. Now in my flesh, I want to say, man, Ahab needs to get everything he deserves. But that's not God. Ahab, in that very chapter, after Naboth has been murdered by his wife Jezebel, in that very chapter, Ahab confesses, he repents, and he gets right with God momentarily. But God is still there. He's ready. If he will hear a man like Ahab, by the way, he heard Manasseh. You want to talk about wicked? Manasseh, one of the most wicked kings of Israel, and Manasseh repented and got right with God. So I encourage us tonight, if God is ready to hear men like Ahab and Manasseh, and I'm not saying we're better than them, but I am saying, look, there are examples of wicked men who confessed and were made right with Jehovah God, then that's what God desires for us tonight. I don't know where you're at, but I do want you to understand tonight, I want myself to understand tonight, that failure does not have to be final. Father, help tonight. Please teach us. Please do in our hearts what only you can do. And Father, as we stand on the threshold of a new year, Father, we can reflect and look back and think about the wonderful things that you've done in our life this year and think about the great victories that you've wrought in our lives this year. But Father, I have no doubt that many of us can look back and see regrets, maybe areas where we were apathetic and lazy and maybe could have done so much better. And Lord, we probably all have a few regrets. Some maybe greater than others, but it doesn't matter. We all have regrets. We all see areas where we failed. And Father, I'm thankful that you are the God of second chances and that, Father, failure does not have to be final. And so, Father, teach us that tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us to begin 2020 with great fervor and passion. But Lord, as we begin 2020, may we end 2020. Lord, if we begin with great fervor and passion and on fire wanting to do things for you, may we do that. May we have that fire and that passion all year long. May we begin and end the same way, Lord. I pray that you'd help. Give us courage, boldness. Give us the strength that we need. And Father, that's found in your word. Anchor us to your word this year. May we stay tied to your word. May we stay submitted to your word. As Pastor Pease mentioned this morning, Lord, may it convict us, may it correct us, may we desire to confess and get things right and see things changed in our lives, Lord. We love you tonight. I do pray that you'd be with our dear folks back home, and as they're getting ready to begin services very shortly, Lord, I pray that you would be with them in a special way tonight, be with Brother Snow as he preaches. Lord, just use him in a wonderful way, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do there and what you're going to do here, Lord, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen tonight. I want to begin with this tonight. I want us to see, first of all, this. I want us to see that Mark was exposed to a heritage of faithfulness. Mark was exposed to a heritage of faithfulness. And I want to begin here tonight very simply for this reason, because many times when we're faithful in church and we've been in church for a long time, and maybe we slip up and maybe we fail, we automatically think that's it. Now look, I understand tonight there are things that we do in our lives that do disqualify us from certain things in the ministry. I totally understand that. The Bible in 1 Timothy 3 gives the qualifications of a pastor, a bishop. It gives the qualifications of a deacon. Those are there for a reason and for a purpose. Those haven't changed. Okay, those haven't changed just because we're in 2019. Those aren't going to change next year in 2020. Those won't change in 2025. They'll be there forever. God's word is truth, and truth is forever. Those are there for a reason. And so I understand there are things that we can do that disqualify us from certain areas of ministry, but many, many times when we grow up in church and we're in church and we're faithful, and boy, we stumble that one time, and we think, oh my, I'm done. I mean, that's not true. Failure does not have to be final. John Mark was exposed to a heritage of faithfulness. Look in chapter number 12, if you're still there. I hope you're there. Acts chapter number 12. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. He was exposed to a heritage of faithful prayers, or prayers, if you will. And he was exposed to a heritage of faithful preachers. He was exposed to a heritage of faithful prayers, and he was exposed to a heritage of faithful preachers. Paul, Uncle Barnabas, Peter, and many of the other apostles, many believe that John Mark was widely known, and he was called Peter's interpreter. Many believe that he spent much time with the apostle Peter, and many believe that Peter had a tremendous influence on John Mark. We find him even mentioned in 1 Peter chapter number 5, but he was exposed to a heritage of faithful prayers, and he was exposed to a heritage of faithful preachers. Verse number 1 in chapter 12, the Bible says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. But now, by the way, let me ask you, why is all of this happening?
Prayer.
Because the people are praying. Verse number 11, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.' And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary," the mother of who? John. Where was the prayer meeting? It was in the house of John Mark. It was in John Mark's house, his mother Mary, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Mark was exposed to a heritage of faithfulness. It was in his house where the prayer meeting was held. He was exposed to a heritage of faithful prayers. He was exposed to a heritage of faithful preachers. And I say that tonight very simply to say this: even when we grow up in environments like that, we are not immune to failure. We are not immune to making mistakes. Now look, I don't say that to give us an excuse. God's desire for us is to live according to the Word of God, to stay obedient to the Word of God, not to fail, not to fall, not to let up. His desire for us is to stay true to the Word of God. So I don't say that to give us an out, and I don't say that to give us an excuse, but I do say that for us to understand all of us at some point can fail. Even when we grow up in environments like this. Verse 13. "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness." That's kind of an ironic statement, isn't it? If she was glad, you would have thought she would have opened the gate. But she was so excited, she went back to tell everyone else. The Bible says, "But ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, 'Thou art mad.'" Isn't that the way we pray many times? See, their faith wasn't necessarily as strong as our faith is. Or our faith is very similar to theirs many times. "Oh, Rhoda, you're mad. It's not Peter." What are they praying for? They're praying for Peter to be released. "But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, 'It is his angel.' But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, 'Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren.' And he departed and went into another place." He was exposed to a heritage of faithful prayers. Men and women who fell on their face before a holy God, beseeching and begging him on behalf of their brothers and sisters. Drop down to verse number 25, if you would. Not only was he exposed to a heritage of faithful prayers, but he was exposed to a heritage of faithful preachers. Verse number 25, "And Barnabas," notice verse 24, don't miss verse 24, the Bible says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Verse 1, chapter 13, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. He was exposed to a heritage of faithful preachers. And by the way, let me say this tonight. Please, expose your family to good preaching. Whether it's in your car, whether it's in your home, whether it's taking them to special meetings, expose your family, your children, your whole household to good preaching. A lot of things we can do in our homes. We can listen to music, good music, but we can listen to preaching too. We have so many avenues, we have so many mediums today where we can listen to preaching. There's so much preaching online, there's CDs, there's so many things. Listen to good preaching. Have your children exposed to a heritage of faithful preachers. Mark was exposed to a heritage of faithfulness, but number two tonight, Mark experienced the heartbreak of failure. He was exposed to a heritage of faithfulness, but he experienced the heartbreak of failure. We already read it, but notice verse number 13 of Acts 13, if you would. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. He was exposed to a heritage of faithfulness, but he experienced the heartbreak of failure. The failure of quitting. Again, we don't know why he went back. And speculation, honestly, would do us no good, but we do know this. We know he went back. The failure of quitting, but also the failure, or excuse me, the heartbreak of quitting, but the heartbreak of being questioned. You see, because when he went back, the next time when Paul said, look, we need to go back and we need to see these churches again, we need to edify, we need to encourage, we need to strengthen them in the word once again. When they were ready to go back again, Barnabas said, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul said, Paul questioned his steadfastness. Paul questioned whether he might come back again. He may just leave us on the missionary trail once again. He experienced the heartbreak of failure. I don't want anybody to raise hand tonight, but I do want us to think, how many times, or maybe even this week, or maybe this year, how many times we've witnessed or we've experienced the heartbreak of failure? Maybe we lost our temper with someone. Fail. Maybe we were critical with our children. I don't know how many times this year, and it hasn't been many. I don't say this to think that I do this all the time, but there have been several times, even in this year, where I've had to go back to my children and apologize and make some things right because of a sharp word. You know, you're busy, you're working, and your kids come and they ask and they need something, and you're busy, and boy, you just give a critical word, you give a sharp word. I'm not talking about when they need it, I'm talking about undeserved. And by the way, parents, when we do that, we need to go back to them and we need to make that right. Well, Pastor, that'll make me look weak in their eyes. No. That'll help them to do the same thing when they fail. When they see mom and dad coming to them and making things right, when they fail, it'll make it easier for them to come to us and make things right. It'll be easier for them when they fail to go to God and make things right, because they know they have a mom and dad that comes to them and make things right. Maybe it's a sharp tongue. Maybe it's losing our temper. Maybe it was looking at something we shouldn't have looked at. Maybe it was saying something we shouldn't have said. Maybe it was listening to something we should not have listened to. Mark experienced the heartbreak of failure. And it does break our heart when we do that, doesn't it? If we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, when we fail God and when we fail the Word of God, it ought to break our hearts that we have failed a holy God, that we have failed our Father. He experienced the heartbreak of failure, the heartbreak of quitting here in Acts chapter 13, the heartbreak of being questioned. We already read it, but over in Acts chapter number 15, verse number 36, again, we mentioned it just a moment ago, they're ready to go back on the second missionary, they're going on the second missionary journey. Paul goes to Barnabas once again. He says, let's go again. Let us affirm these churches. Let us strengthen these churches. Let's see how they do. The Bible says in verse 36, and Barnabas, he submits to Paul. He said, hey, let's take John Mark with us again. And verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And by the way, notice the Bible says, and the contention was so sharp between them. We know Barnabas was a man of consolation. He wanted to bring people together. He wanted to make things right. But the contention between Paul and Barnabas was so sharp, the Bible says, that they departed asunder, one from the other. Here are two men who went on the first missionary journey, and the contention was so sharp because of John Mark and the fact that he had gone back, and now Paul has questions about him. By the way, I believe that was fair. I believe it was fair that Paul had questions. Is he going to leave us again? Is he going to go back again? And so Barnabas took Mark, the Bible says, and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Mark experienced the heartbreak of failure, even though he was exposed to the heritage of faithfulness. Hey, friends, when we fail, let's get it right. Let's get up and let's go forward. Let's don't stay and pity ourselves, if you will, and say, oh, what a failure. No. Let's get it right and let's go forward. We fail with our kids, get it right. We fail with our church family, get it right. There have been times I've had to go to church members and say, look, I'm sorry. Now, I'm thankful that has been very rare, but there have been times when I've had to go and say, look, I'm sorry for that reaction. That's necessary. Don't stay back here where the failure is and say, man, I'm just a failure. Might as well just hang it up and quit. No, what did Paul say? Forgetting those things which are behind, press toward the mark. By the way, Paul had some things to forget, didn't he? Paul had many things to forget. By the way, I don't believe he ever forgot them. Forgiveness, absolutely. But I don't believe he ever forgot them. The fact that he was standing, holding the other men's garments while Stephen was stoned. He said, I put that behind me. Boy, I sure wish that hadn't have happened. But I'm not going to let it keep me from serving now. So that leads us to number three tonight. Number one, Mark was exposed to a heritage of faithfulness. He experienced the heartbreak of failure. But number three tonight, Mark was extended the hand of forgiveness. He was extended the hand of forgiveness. I believe, first of all, by the man Barnabas. But we know from other passages in the Scripture that it just didn't stop with Barnabas. In Acts 15, verse number 37, Barnabas is trying to make things right. Maybe Barnabas saw something in John Mark that Paul just didn't see yet. And Barnabas said, he needs to come with us. He's still good for the ministry. He'll be an asset to us if we take him with us. And I believe right there, and probably well even before this verse, that Barnabas is extending the hand of forgiveness to John Mark. But I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go a little bit further with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, and we have two tremendous examples in back-to-back verses in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 10. Actually, let's read verse number 9 if we could. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, somewhere between Acts chapter number 13 and Acts chapter number 15, excuse me, in verse number 36, where Paul says, he's not coming with us. We know what happened the first time. He went back and it caused us great trouble. It hurt our ministry a little bit because he went back and he left us. We're not going to do that again. And somewhere between Acts 15 and 2 Timothy chapter number 4, there's been a hand of forgiveness extended. And the Apostle Paul says, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You have two individuals. Verse 10, you have the man Demas. Failed. The Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We have no other word. We have no other evidence. We have no other mention of Demas getting things right. Hopefully he did. But there is no other mention of Demas making things right. The Bible says, we may not have known why John Mark went back, but we know why Demas left. The Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas got tired of the ministry. Demas got tired of not having what everybody else had. Demas got tired of maybe, I don't have as nice a home as this person, or I don't have as much stuff as this person. I don't get to enjoy the entertainment that the world gets to enjoy. And the Bible says that Demas left, having loved this present world. Fail. But do we understand tonight, Demas still had the opportunity to get things right too. But we have no evidence that he did. John Mark, verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. I cannot, the Bible doesn't say this. I'd never try to make the Bible say something it doesn't. But I imagine somewhere in between these two passages and somewhere between this time frame that the Apostle Paul and John Mark got together and things were mended. John Mark, most likely, I would assume, asked for forgiveness. I have no doubt that John Mark understood I shouldn't have left. Because now the Apostle Paul is saying he's profitable to me for the ministry. He's different now. He's made things right. Yeah, he failed, but you know what? Failure doesn't have to be final. Mark was extended the hand of forgiveness. What happened? What happened? What were the results of Mark being extended the hand of forgiveness? What happened? Because Mark made things right with the Apostle Paul, and more importantly, I believe with all my heart, I think we can prove it just by the fact that Paul says he's profitable to me for the ministry. No doubt he got right with God. What were the results of that? Two things. Mark's second chance, or maybe this was his third or fourth or fifth, we don't know, but Mark's second chance, first of all, resulted in a straightway ministry. In a straightway ministry. Straightway, in its different forms in the book of Mark, is used 40 times. Straightway, immediately, forthwith, anon, as, 40 times in the book of Mark. The word straightway itself is used 19 times in the book of Mark. Again, I don't know this, but I believe maybe, and I know it's God-breathed, the book of Mark is God-breathed, but I wonder if Mark said, you know what, I wasted some time, it's time for me to be straightway. Immediately. I should have stayed with Paul and Barnabas, and I failed, and I came back, but man, well, the time that God has for me left, straightway, immediately, anon, as, I'm going to go serve. It resulted in a straightway ministry. Secondly, it resulted in a scriptural manuscript. It resulted in a straightway ministry. It resulted in a scriptural manuscript. What do you mean, Pastor? The book of Mark. The book of Mark. God Almighty saw something in the young man Mark, John Mark, that he said, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit breathe this book on him. He's going to pen the book of Mark. All I'm saying tonight is failure does not have to be final. I'm not making excuses for our sin tonight. In the book of Romans, the question is asked. We know in the book of Romans it said, where sin did abound, it grace did much more abound. But then the question is asked, well, should we sin so that grace will abound? We know the answer to that. What does Romans 6 say? God forbid. You know, we don't sin so that grace will abound. I don't sin so that I can have a second chance. But I am saying tonight, look, there's mercy at the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, where Pastor Pease was at this morning, verses 14 through 16. We have a high priest. We have a throne of grace where we can come and we can find mercy and we can find help in time of need. We have things we need to get right with God. Let us get them right tonight and step into 2020 right with God, with a passion, with a fervency to serve Him, hey, with a straightway mentality. Maybe this year you have allowed, maybe we have allowed some failure to stagnate us a little bit this year. Maybe tonight we'll get things right and we'll say, you know what, I've wasted a lot of time this year. It's time to get straightway busy. Immediately, forthwith, anon. It's time to go to it. Failure does not have to be final. Hey, don't stay in your sin. Don't stay in the past. I meet people all the time, and I know your pastor probably does too. I meet people all the time who aren't doing anything for God anymore because of something that happened in the past. And maybe it wasn't even their sin per se. Somebody hurt them. Somebody said something to them. Somebody was critical with them. And because of something that happened in the past, they've allowed that, maybe not even necessarily their failure, but the failure of someone else, they have allowed that to stop them from serving God. Failure does not have to be final. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Father, thank you for the example that we find in John Mark. And Father, every time we open our Bible, every time we go to the Scriptures and we read a passage in Mark, may we remember. A young man who failed. A young man who quit momentarily. A young man who was questioned, and I have no doubt his heart was broken because others questioned his dedication and his steadfastness. But Father, he didn't stay there. There was a hand of forgiveness extended. Forgiveness was granted. He sought it. I have no doubt about that. And Father, things were made right. I pray for someone tonight. I pray for maybe many tonight. Father, who need to get some things right with you tonight, who have been maybe wallowing in self-pity because of a failure that they've had this year. Father, may they simply agree with you tonight and come and confess it and get things right. And Father, move forward into 2020 with a heart ready to serve you. Father, may that be every single one of us tonight. Father, I pray that we've been reminded tonight that failure is not final.